¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on a chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when working late one night inside a hospital that dates back to the early 1900s, it should have been a routine calm night until suddenly strange noises start emanating down the hall. Noises unlike anything normally heard in the hospital. Who or what was making these sound in this century-old structure? The Aztec question and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number. The call into Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you like the show and want to get bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and a whole lot more, then check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it ad-free. So check it out and help keep us on the air. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Question for you, Tony.
Yeah?
I can get your thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so say you went to somebody's house and they just bought the house, and this has happened to me the second time now, and you go in their house and it's like, man, I hope they never ask me to sleep over, or like, hey, if you want to come visit, you can stay in the spare room. Mm-hmm. Because I just thought the house had really, really bad energy.
Okay.
Do you tell someone who just bought their house that?
No, you shouldn't.
Okay.
Do that.
Because I was like, I thought, okay, I live close enough that I could drive home, but it's still in another town.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there could be some time that I'd be like, I don't think so.
So did they say, were you the only one who felt this way? Did anybody else say anything awkward about the house or?
My sister.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kathy.
Yeah.
And they don't listen to this program, so I don't think they're going to hear this. But I just, you know, it's all like, you know, I want to be happy, and the house needs a ton of work. And it's, and that's, you know, up to them. Like, it's your house. You bought it. You know it needs a ton of work. And, but it's like just a very dark house, like light and dark wise.
Yeah.
Not energy wise. I mean, it is dark energy wise.
Sure.
But it's a dark house.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, you guys, slap a coat of paint on this.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we were thinking about doing this with the walls. And I'm like, just paint it. Just paint it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even moved in here without painting it. It's so dark. And I'm like, maybe that's what's bothering me. But I'm like,
I wouldn't want
to just hang out there alone and...
I think it could all go together. I mean, if the house is perpetually dark and anyone living in there, you know, we're not mushrooms. So it's not necessarily a healthy...
Nice humidity. We could grow.
It's not necessarily a healthy environment to always be in the dark. Now, I would have argued that point many years ago when I was like teenagers loved like the dark. I loved all, you know, anything kind of spooky. And I, you know... like dark paint and dark this and everything. It's like, now I need light. I need light to live.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing though. So if you're anybody there that lived with that darkness, I would imagine there's some energy from them that's lurking around. I'm not going to say it's anything evil or wrong or from the other side, but it could just be that perpetual, you know, kind of feeling of being down that just kind of weigh you down. You know, or there could have been a family of eight that were slaughtered in the basement by a pack of pirates, you know?
I don't think that happened.
Okay.
But I don't know what happened. But
you're sure it wasn't the rollers?
I don't think it was pirates. Okay. I really don't, with all respect. Good suggestion to me.
Yeah, or vampires.
I don't feel that.
Okay.
But it's just a really weird thing because this has happened to me once before. And the people that happened at their house before a while back, one of them came up to me and said, yeah, when you were at our house, did you feel anything there? And I'm like, thought you'd never ask. But so then we talked about it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be the one say, you know, hey, you just bought this house. You think it's haunted?
No, and I think that'd be the only way to kind of go to it, not saying that there's dark energy, would just be like, you know, older house, like, do you think there's ghosts? Like, that could be said like in a fun kind of joking way, not I feel this dark energy in your house.
10 years older than my house,
because
mine was built in 1940, theirs was in 1930.
Yeah,
so it's like
potential for a lot of deaths.
It just feels so different. My house is really bright, and I don't know, I just remember walking in here going, this house has the best energy about it.
Yeah.
It just feels good when you walk in. And when I walked in there, I'm like, oh, and I was just like, so dark. And and on top of that, just a lot of things they'll have to do. But you know that you buy a house and you know what you're getting into. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, some of what they're getting into is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, any common sense would make you, you know, there's some history there. You don't know what it all is, but I'd be curious.
Yeah, it's just very interesting to me. So, yeah, I didn't say anything. I was just like, you know, pointing out the things that were nice. Like, I think this could be good.
I love the inverted crucifix that's built into the top of the fireplace.
That's a great idea.
That's very strange that it's in the fireplace, but.
Because the living room was kind of like a turquoisey almost, but more green. It was just an odd color. And then the fireplace went like floor to ceiling, really thick, was black.
Was it a funeral home once?
I don't know. But I was like, this is just a weird color. And I think if you just put paint over everything right now, it would just feel better. And I'm like, man, you could paint this for $100, and I'm sure they don't like to paint. Very few people do. I would paint it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just weird. But I'm happy that they're living not that far away from me.
Well, when they
two people I adore
at some point say, "Hey, you do that ghost thing. What do you think about this?" And then they tell you a story about the house. Then are you going to say, "Okay"? Here's the truth about the first time I was there.
I think if they brought it up, I guess I could always do that talking about ghosts and say, have you guys ever experienced a ghost, like ever?
Yeah.
Just to see what they said.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be kind of a way in, maybe.
That'd be interesting. Let me know how that goes.
I'm not going to address it right away.
Okay. Just going to lay low. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get our first letter. It says, I recently became an EPP after listening to just a few episodes. I love your podcast and I've been looking for something in regard to the paranormal as I've always been interested in it. I want to add that I was happy to hear that you curse in your podcast, as I sometimes find that I use the F word like a damn comma. Okay. Cool. We're all good. I wrote to you previously about my place of employment being an old hospital in upstate New York and told you just a couple of the numerous stories I have from this place, some of my own and some being from coworkers. I personally did not believe in ghosts or anything of that nature. That is, until I started working here. Anyways, I've done a little research since the last time I wrote in on the hospital where I work, And we'll fill you in a little before I go into some stories, and we'll include a link to a short history of the hospital below. Hospital is currently known as, I probably shouldn't say that part, of the Hudson Valley. But prior to this, it was named, I'll just say the one, Benedictine Hospital. The hospital began treating patients in 1901 and was run by nuns. The hospital was a sanitarium, which I looked into and found out that this means people came here to be treated for TB, and many died horrible deaths here. Now, again, I work overnight security at this hospital, and I've experienced many things that I believe to be paranormal. One in particular I can recall, I was at work at the hospital. We'd already made our rounds, and everything was pretty calm that night. There were three of us guards on that night, and we were at our desk watching a movie on the computer. One of the other two guards told us he was going to go chill somewhere. And sort of like our code for, I'm going to go take a short nap. So if he went off around the corner to find a place to shut his eyes, the other guard and I continued watching the movie. Can't remember for the life of me what the movie was, but it's rather irrelevant. About 45 minutes later, the other guy at the desk had fallen asleep. That was until we heard what sounded like a rolling computer chair around the corner in the area around the corner from us. We naturally perked up and waited for whatever was making that noise to come around the corner, but nothing came. After a few moments, we decided to go check it out. We walked around the corner and found that there was not only one, but there was no chair either. There are only three places to go from that area, and that's to the front desk, down a very long hallway, which we were quick enough. Nobody could have gotten down that hall without us seeing them. And the third would have to go through a locked alarm door that we would receive an alarm if the door had been opened. So we go back to the desk and wait for our third guard to come back. When he does get back, I asked him, "Hey, Dixon, are you fucking with us?" To which he replied, "No, in fact, I was going to ask you if you were fucking with me." We were all puzzled. I asked him what he heard, so he explained, "I was chilling in registration and heard a computer chair rolling around outside the door." As he explained it to us, I remember looking at the other guy who was at the desk with me, and his face went white. We told him that's exactly what we heard as well. I apologize for the length of the story. As I previously stated, I've gotten no shortage of paranormal stories, some more scary or interesting than this. Let me know if you'd like to hear more. Well, yes, of course, we would like to hear more. Thoughts on that?
You know, it's interesting because we've heard stories kind of similar to that, but in different locations, like these really old hospitals that, or like a institution of some kind. And then the security guards who are there late at night are the ones who hear all this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like in a case like that, and chances are in a building that old, you would have heard someone walking or someone running away or something too.
Yeah.
You don't just hear the sound and then nothing.
No, and your job is to go look for it. And probably initially a lot of times you think, you're not thinking anything paranormal until you get there. And it's like, there's something had to have made these noises, but.
Well, and you're the security guard, so you have to go check it out, whether you went to or not. That's your job.
Yeah, that would be.
That's seriously, you couldn't pay me enough to do that.
No, I think it would be interesting for like a job shadow.
One night.
Yeah, just one night. Just kind of see what it's like, because it's kind of an interesting atmosphere. But I don't think I'd want to be the only one doing it. And I mean, I think back to Glenn, the security guard, and his stories. When he was doing that years ago, those were creepy, dark things that he was coming across, and he had video too that he would post. And that's what kind of alerted me to who he was on one of our group pages. I think, some of the videos he was posting, I'm like, what is this? And then I looked more, I'm like, oh, this is like from him. This is what he's, And then we started getting the calls, and then it all made more sense. And it was just.
And you could hear his voice, too. Like, there was times where it almost sounded like it was really getting to him.
Oh, completely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he sounded very depressed. towards the end of when he was working there. Eventually he left, and he called in a little bit more than a year ago to just kind of give us an update. And he actually sounded a lot better then. And like he was in a good place and, you know, things had calmed down. And then a couple of weeks after that, he was killed on the highway. He was, I believe, working for AAA, and somebody, you know, wasn't paying attention.
So sad.
And, yeah, that was just over, I think it was just beginning of July.
I think it was right about a year ago.
It is, but
right now it's the 1st of July.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because this is airing at the beginning of August. If you're wanting to hear some of his stories, because everyone's going to go, what are the stories at? There's an episode called Remembering Glenn the Security Guard. If you want to scroll back just a little ways, about a month, and you'll find it, and very interesting stories on that episode. And it's all of his on that one specific show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, hi, my name is Dave, and I'm the founder of Wendy's. My daughter works there, and it should have been called Dave's all along. Hi, my name's Dave, and I'm from Leeds in the Kumas. I would like to share with you two experiences that I had after my mother died. In 1978, my mom and dad bought me a solar-powered digital watch for my 18th birthday. That watch went through some adventures with me and a couple of motorcycle crashes over the course of the years. Eventually, in the year 2000, packed up, the only thing that worked was the alarm. The display would constantly flash, and the alarm would go off every morning at 11 a.m. It had a very distinct beeping sound that I had heard countless times over the years. I kept the watch on my bedside cabinet. In 2001, my mother died of cancer at a very young age. Obviously, we were all devastated. When my mother was lying in the chapel of rest, we being her family, put things inside the coffin with her, photos and such. I put my watch in and tucked it under the lining of the coffin. About 1 week later, myself and my partner were sitting in the living room on one miserable gray Sunday, just basically staring at the TV, not really talking anything. And just in that kind of daze, we both heard as clear as day, my watch alarm go off. At first, we didn't take any notice. As I said, I'd heard it countless times before. And then it sunk in. My partner looked at me in disbelief. I looked at her, absolutely stunned. It took maybe 20 seconds for it to sink in, but we both could clearly hear. I ran upstairs to the bedroom to see if my watch was there, knowing full well it can't be because I had put it in with my mother. By the time I got upstairs, the alarm had stopped, and I rushed into the bedroom to find nothing there. We don't own anything that sounded like that alarm. We've never heard it again. We just can't explain it. In 2014, my partner was due to have a very serious operation. As the time got nearer, she started to get more worried and concerned. One night, we were having a quiet drink, watching TV. She started to ask questions about what if the operation went wrong, and she started to ask if I believed there was anything more after this life after death. I said I did believe there was. I started to get into a heavy discussion on the paranormal. We turned off the TV and discussed it in the light of the fire. After maybe an hour or so, we got to talking about the watch incident. I said, you were there, and you heard what I heard as clear as day. She agreed. She did. She couldn't deny it. Then my iPad, which was on the table at the side of me, suddenly turned on. To be more precise, it was Suri that actually came on and asked, who would you like me to contact? As far as I know, you have to press and hold down the button for Suri. No one had touched that iPad in the last 2 hours. I grabbed the iPad, went through my many deceased loved ones that I know, but all I got from Suri was rubbish answers to my questions. These two incidents are completely true and have convinced me that there must be something more out there. It has also got my partner believing a lot more, and as a side note, the operation was successful, although it took a lot longer than it should have. Thanks for letting me share my experiences with you. Regards, Dave. Thoughts on that?
I thought both those were really cool stories, actually.
Yeah.
And the one, when you hear a sound like that, like, that's unmistakable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then to go, no, it couldn't be because that's, I put it in with my mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's not possible that we're hearing that sound, but both of them heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And when you have two people hearing it, and only one may be, you know, that's going to be super familiar with it, then you know it's not just your mind. Because I've had that where it's just me that, like, all of a sudden I think I hear something because it's something with an alarm or something, the same sort of deal. But then I'm like, ah, no, my mind's just playing a trick. But if two are hearing it or more, then you know you got something going on.
I don't know. It's almost like someone's kind of trying to contact them.
Yeah.
Or at least trying to let them know that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
There's another part to the story. Let me read it right here. That's not a good one. Let's do this. Shortly after, I heard the sound of the watch. I went to seek it out in the guest bedroom. And I saw movement underneath the covers. Movement of floral sheets that looked like they belonged in a Holiday Inn circa 1974. Complete with cum stains.
Oh, oh, oh.
Then I saw it. My mother's arm with the watch on it. Her hand was moving slowly across the floor. The watch beeping incessantly. I chased it, but as I chased it more, it fought. It lunged at me. Hands out. And choked me. I tried to escape its tight grip, but seemed nothing would work. Eventually, I passed out and woke up inside the ball pit at a Chuck E. Cheese. Children were laughing and playing, having a good old time. And there I am, a 48-year-old man with no pants on, standing inside the ball pit at the Chuck E. Cheese. All because of the watch and my mother's dead hands.
All I could do is think, how do I get out of this ball pit without my pants on? Everybody's going to look. I don't even know how I got in here.
Somehow.
Did I just walk in here?
The mother's dead hand did it. I don't, maybe the hand drug him to the Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know how you get that past, you know, I don't know. The kids that work today don't pay attention to anything. So it could probably be fairly easy to get them in there.
Jason, but, should we let the guy in without pants on?
We need customers. We need customers. You know?
Just let him come in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't say, there's not a sign.
Maybe that he's, you know, yeah, it's there's nothing here that says we can't do that. I mean, that's how he likes to do his life. So just let him be.
Once I saw a sign that said no shoes, no shirt, no service, but it, like, you could go in without your pants. that's what people do.
Can we, are those signs around still? I haven't seen those in decades. No.
But I did see that one guy, and I've talked about this before, but I did see that one guy really late on a weekend night go into a convenience store, and he was not wearing any pants.
Oh, my God.
Just a satin baseball jacket thingy. One of those zip-up ones.
Well, that's
and I don't know if he had shoes on. I always assumed he had shoes on. I just never saw his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw his wiener.
Oh,
I was like, what the hell? I'm sitting in my car waiting for my friends. Like, he had his pants on.
Wow.
No.
Did they ask him to leave at that point when he goes?
Nobody ever noticed. And so when my friends got back to the car, because they went in, I'm sure, for cigarettes and munchy foods. And when they got back to the car, I was like, okay, did you guys see that guy in there without any pants on? They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, he's still in there. He hasn't come out yet. You can like see his head because you know how a convenience store is all windows.
Yeah.
That guy. And it's like nobody's even noticing he's not wearing pants. And so when he got out of the convenience store, the girls are both like, holy shit, he doesn't have pants on. And we're like, oh my God. And I'm sure it all was much louder than it should have been. Caught his ear. He turned around and he stares at us with just his jacket on and no pants. And we're like, shit, get out of here. So like, I have like a Ford Fiesta or something like that. I don't remember what I had. And something that didn't go very fast. And he started chasing us. The guy without the pants. I'm like, shit, now what do we do? I don't know. What does he want with us?
It was like Terminator, but the guy chasing the car, but this one had no pants.
Because he's like, aha, finally somebody noticed I'm the man with no pants.
Yeah.
This is the challenge I've been waiting for all evening. I'm going to chase down these girls. I don't know what I'll do with them once I catch them, but I'm chasing them.
They will love me and I'll lock them up. I will bind them.
Just lived around the corner. We were going to her house to eat the food that we just bought. And it's like, don't go in my house. That's right. It wouldn't be safe. Let's keep going.
It wasn't Dennis Rader by chance that was...
I don't know. It could have been for all I know. I mean, it
really could.
I don't remember what his face looked like. I just remember the jacket and the no pants.
You know, this is going to be now...
Once you see someone's penis hanging out, you don't always remember what their face looked like.
You ever watch Mindhunter?
Oh, yeah.
So at the beginning, there's usually a Dennis Rader segment, and and it's always just kind of bizarre. It looks at different times in his life. That right there could be a scene of the girls just kind of sitting there waiting, you know, at the gas station, everything you just described, and then the Dennis Rader's doing it.
For real?
Yeah, that would
like, no shit.
Yeah, that'd be a total scene. That'd be great.
It could have been. Dennis Rader was living here at the time.
Yeah. And he was getting into
the... And he still pretty much lives here, yeah. Just like 30 miles out of town.
Yeah, behind a lot of bars.
Yeah, he's in definite big-time lockdown, but still.
So is he, like, allowed into the general population?
I don't know now. He wasn't for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of don't think he is. I think he's in a very restricted area. I went by a little prison. This has nothing to do with ghosts or anything, yeah. But just the other day in a little town where I went and visited my friends.
Yeah.
And they have the nicest looking spa prison.
Spa prison.
I'm shitting you. I was like they're all wearing white. It kind of looked like a cult. And they're outside like hanging out. And like there's a really high hill with like a big kind of swing and like this kind of walking path around.
It sounds like a cult.
I'm like, is that a prison? And my nephew's like, yeah. And then he goes, look at the fence. It was a chain link fence, like 6 foot chain link fence. There was no wire, no anything on the top of it. It was literally a 6 foot chain link fence. And I said, well, do people escape? And he goes, yeah, every now and again, someone escapes, but nobody usually does because they're like, man, you made it to Winfield. Like, this place is awesome. You don't want to leave here.
This is the Holiday Inn of prison.
You'd be crazy. Do your time here. Why would you escape and do more time someplace else? Like, it's a spa prison.
Wow.
It was so nice. Like, the grounds were just beautiful. And I'm like, my God, where's the hot tub? So, I mean, it was crazy, but they're all just walking around in white, so it sort of looked like a Mormon temple sort of situation, mm-hmm. But it wasn't.
Well, it's good to hear. You ever wanted to start a cult?
Anyway, sorry, that doesn't have anything to do with ghosts, but it just hit me that I forgot I'd seen that.
If you ever wanted to start a cult, a prison might not be a bad place to start.
Oh, hell no, especially if it's like a spa and you all get to wear the same outfits that are just white, you know, it's not... Because white just seems so pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
do you think there'll be something like that in the future, like designer prisons, where if you have enough money and if you're sentenced to here or there, there are privatized prisons now that then the government pays. But
that really don't work too well. But I think what happens when you get a lot of money, it's not that the prison is the spa, except for that one I saw the other day. But it's your treatment. Because remember that whole Jeffrey Epstein thing when he first got arrested and he's out like, what, 8 to 10 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
And then he would come back in and then he would leave 8 to 10 hours a day, just sleep there at night, do it. You know, I'm like, that's not prison.
No.
It's not jail. That's not a punishment.
No, it's an extended stay.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that is. No, that's...
And you're not paying for it. It's free.
No, what I was thinking of with the Raider earlier is if you are going to jail for doing something horrible that you're going to be there for the rest of your life, you know you're going to be a big target in there, or you just don't want to deal with the general population. It's almost an incentive to like be a worse, you know, human being, so you get like your own private treatment of everything. To me, I mean, that almost sounds like a perk.
Mm-hmm.
No, fucked up. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and Prison Chat. Like the show?
We can start a new podcast, exactly. Prison Chat. We know nothing about that show.
Prison Chat. check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.